Chapter 19. And she led the way upstairs into her bedroom. There, standing on the dressing table in a little frame, was the unconscious portrait of Edward Springrove. "There he is," apostrophe Miss Hinton said, and a silence ensued. "Are you very fond of him?" Apostrophe apostrophe continued the miserable Cytherea at length. "Yes, of course I am," apostrophe her companion replied, but in the tone of one who lived in Abraham's bosom all the year, apostrophe and was therefore untouched by solemn thought at the fact. "He's my cousin, a native of this village. We were engaged before my father's death left me so lonely. I was only 20, and a much greater belle than I am now. We know each other thoroughly, as you may imagine. I give him a little sermonizing now and then." Apostrophe apostrophe, why? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, it's only in fun. He's very naughty sometimes, not really, you know, but he will look at any pretty face when he sees it. Apostrophe apostrophe, storing up this statement of his susceptibility as another item, to be miserable upon whenas he had time, how do you know that? Apostrophe apostrophe Cytherea asked, with a swelling heart. Well, you know how things do come to women's ears. He used to live at Budmouth as an assistant architect, and I found out that a young giddy thing of a girl who lives there somewhere took his fancy for a day or two. But I don't feel jealous at all. Our engagement is so matter of fact that neither of us can be jealous. And it was a mere flirtation. She was too silly for him. He's fond of rowing, and kindly gave her an airing for an evening or two. I'll warrant they talked the most unmitigated rubbish under the sun, all shallowness and pastime, just as everything is at watering places, neither of them caring a bit for the other. She giggling like a goose all the time. Apostrophe, concentrated essence of woman pervaded the room rather than air. She didn't. And it wasn't shallowness. Apostrophe Cytherea burst out, with brimming eyes. 'Twas deep deceit on one side, and entire confidence on the other. Yes, it was. Apostrophe apostrophe the pent-up emotion had swollen and swollen inside the young thing till the dam could no longer embay it. The instant the words were out she would have given worlds to have been able to recall them. Do you know her or him? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Hinton, starting with suspicion at the warmth shown. The two rivals had now lost their personality quite. There was the same keen brightness of eye, the same movement of the mouth, the same mind in both, as they looked doubtingly and excitedly at each other. As is invariably the case with women, when a man they care for is the subject of an excitement among them, the situation abstracted the differences which distinguished them as individuals, and left only the properties common to them as atoms of a sex. Cytherea caught at the chance afforded her of not betraying herself. "Yes, I know her," apostrophe she said. "Well, apostrophe said Miss Hinton, I am really vexed if my speaking so lightly of any friend of yours has hurt your feelings, but apostrophe, oh, never mind," apostrophe Cytherea returned. "It doesn't matter, Miss Hinton. I think I must leave you now. I have to call at other places. Yes, I must go." Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Hinton, in a perplexed state of mind, showed her visitor politely downstairs to the door. Here Cytherea bade her a hurried adieu, and flitted down the garden into the lane. She persevered in her duties with a wayward pleasure in giving herself misery, as was her wont. Mr. Springrove's name was next on the list, and she turned towards his dwelling, the Three Tranters Inn. 3:04 to 5 p.m. The cottages along Carriford Village Street were not so close, but that on one side or other of the road was always a hedge of hawthorn or privet, over or through which could be seen gardens or orchards rich with produce. It was about the middle of the yearly apple harvest, and the laden trees were shaken at intervals by the gatherers, the soft pattering of the falling crop upon the grassy ground being diversified by the loud rattle of vagrant ones upon the rail, hencoop, basket, or lean-to roof, or upon the rounded and stooping backs of the collectors, mostly children, who would have cried bitterly at receiving such a smart blow from any other quarter, but smilingly assumed it to be but fun in apples. The Three Tranters Inn, a many-gabled, medieval building, constructed almost entirely of timber, plaster, and thatch, stood close to the line of the roadside, almost opposite the churchyard, and was connected with a row of cottages on the left by thatched outbuildings. It was an uncommonly characteristic and handsome specimen of the genuine roadside inn of bygone times, and standing on one of the great highways in this part of England, had in its time been the scene of as much of what is now looked upon as the romantic and genial experience of stagecoach traveling as any halting place in the country. The railway had absorbed the whole stream of traffic which formerly flowed through the village, and along by the ancient door of the inn, reducing the empty-handed landlord, who used only to farm a few fields at the back of the house, to the necessity of eking out his attenuated income by increasing the extent of his agricultural business, if he would still maintain his social standing. Next to the general stillness pervading the spot, the long line of outbuildings adjoining the house was the most striking and saddening witness to the passed away fortunes of the Three Tranters Inn. It was the bulk of the original stabling, and where once the hoofs of 20 horses had daily rattled over the stony yard, to and from the stalls within, thick grass now grew, whilst the line of roofs once so straight over the decayed stalls, had sunk in two vast hollows till they seemed like the cheeks of toothless age. On a green plot at the other end of the building, grew two or three large, wide-spreading elm trees, from which the sign was suspended representing the three men called Tranters, irregular carriers, standing side by side, and exactly alike to a hair's breadth, the grain of the wood and joints of the boards being visible through the thin paint depicting their forms, which were still further disfigured by red stains running downwards from the rusty nails above. Under the trees now stood a cider mill and press, and upon the spot sheltered by the boughs were gathered Mr. Springrove himself, his men, the parish clerk, two or three other men, grinders and supernumeraries, a woman with an infant in her arms, a flock of pigeons, and some little boys with straws in their mouths, endeavoring, whenever the men's backs were turned, to get a sip of the sweet juice issuing from the vat. Edward Springrove the elder, the landlord, now more particularly a farmer, and for 2 months in the year a cider maker, was an employer of labor of the old school, who worked himself among his men. He was now engaged in packing the pomace in two horsehair bags with a rammer, and Gad Weedy, his man, was occupied in shoveling up more from a tub at his side. The shovel shone like silver from the action of the juice, and ever and anon, in its motion to and fro, caught the rays of the declining sun, and reflected them in bristling stars of light. Mr. Springrove had been too young a man, when the pristine days of the Three Tranters had departed forever, to have much of the host left in him now. He was a poet with a rough skin, one whose sturdiness was more the result of external circumstances than of intrinsic nature. Too kindly constituted to be very provident, he was yet not imprudent. He had a quiet humorousness of disposition, not out of keeping with a frequent melancholy, the general expression of his countenance being one of abstraction. Like Walt Whitman, he felt as his years increased, "I foresee too much. It means more than I thought." On the present occasion he wore gaiters and a leathern apron, and worked with his shirt sleeves rolled up beyond his elbows, disclosing solid and fleshy, rather than muscular arms. They were stained by the cider, and two or three brown apple pips from the pomace he was handling were to be seen sticking on them here and there. The other prominent figure was that of Richard Cricket, the parish clerk, a kind of bowdlerized rake, who ate only as much as a woman, and had the rheumatism in his left hand. The remainder of the group, brown-faced peasants, wore smock frocks embroidered on the shoulders with hearts and diamonds, and were girt round their middle with a strap, another being worn round the right wrist. "And have you seen the steward, Mr. Springrove?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the clerk. Just a glimpse of him, but was just enough to show me that he's not here for long. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why might that be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he'll never stand the vagaries of the female figure holding the reins, not he. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she de payin' well, apostrophe, said a grinder, and money's money. Apostrophe, otis. Very much so, apostrophe, the clerk replied. Yes, yes, neighbor Cricket, apostrophe, said Springrove, but she'll flee in a passion, all the fat will be in the fire, and there's an end dot. Dot dot dot, yes, she is a one, apostrophe, continued the farmer, resting, raising his eyes, and reading the features of a distant apple. She is, apostrophe, said Gad, resting too.
It is wonderful how prompt a journeyman is in following his master's initiative to rest, and reflectively regarding the ground in front of him.
True. A one is she, apostrophe, the clerk chimed in, shaking his head ominously. S he has such a temper, apostrophe, said the farmer, and is so willful too. You may as well try to stop a footpath as stop her, when S he has taken anything into her head. I'd as soon grind little green crabs all day as live wire. Apostrophe, apostrophe, tis a temper she have, tis, apostrophe, the clerk replied, though I be a servant of the church that say it. But she isn't keen to flee in a passion this time. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the audience waited for the continuation of the speech, as if they knew from experience the exact distance off it lay in the future. The clerk swallowed nothing, as if it were a great deal, and then went on, there's some at between 'em. Mark my words, neighbors, there's some at between 'em. Apostrophe, apostrophe, do you mean it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do know it. He came last Saturday, didn't he? Apostrophe, a did, truly, apostrophe, said Gad Weedy, at the same time taking an apple from the hopper of the mill, eating a piece, and flinging back the remainder, to be ground up for cider. He went to church a Sunday, apostrophe, said the clerk again. A did. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and she kept her eye upon en all the service, her face flickering between red and white, but never stopped pen at either. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Springrove nodded, and went to the press. Well, apostrophe, said the clerk, you don't call her the kind o' woman to make mistakes in just trotting through the weekly service, o' God? Why, as a rule she's as right as I be myself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Springrove nodded again, and gave a twist to the screw of the press, followed in the movement by Gad at the other side. The two grinders expressing by looks of the greatest concern that, if Miss Altcliffe were as right at church as the clerk, she must be right indeed. Yes, as right in the service, O God, as I be myself, apostrophe, repeated the clerk. But last Sunday, when we were in the 10th commandment, says she, incline our hearts to keep this law, says she, when 'twas Oz in our hearts, we beseech thee, all the church through. Her eye was upon him, she was quite lost hearts to keep this law, says she. She was no more than a mere shatter at that 10th time, a mere shatter. You mit ha mouthed across to her, Oz in our hearts we beseech thee, 50 times over she'd never ha noticed thee. She's in love, why the man, that's what she is. Apostrophe, then she's a bigger stunple than I took her for, apostrophe, said Mr. Springrove. Why, she's old enough to be his mother. Apostrophe, the row'll be between her and that young curlywig, you'll see. She won't run the risk of that pretty face being near. Apostrophe, apostrophe, clerk Cricket, I de fancy you de know everything about everybody, apostrophe, said Gad. Well, so's, apostrophe, said the clerk modestly. I do know a little. It comes to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and I de know where from. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that wife o' thine. She's an entertaining woman, not to speak disrespectful. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she is. And a winning one. Look at the husband she've had, God bless her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I wonder you could stand third in that list, clerk Cricket, apostrophe, said Mr. Springrove.
Well, tea has been a power o' marvel to myself oftentimes. Yes, matrimony do begin why early, beloved, and ends why amazement, as the prayer book says. But what could I do, neighbor Springrove? 'Twas ordained to be. Well do I call to mind what your poor lady said to me when I had just married. H, Mr. Cricket, says she, your wife will soon settle you as she did her other two. Here's a glass o' rum, for I shan't see your poor face this time next year. I swallowed the rum, called again next year, and said, Mrs. Springrove, you gave me a glass o' rum last year, because I was going to die here I be alive still, you see. L said, clerk, here's two glasses for you now then, says she. Thank you, ma'am, I said, and swallowed the rum. Well, dang my old sides, next year I thought I'd call again and get three. And call I did. But she wouldn't give me a drop o' the commonest. Oh, clerk, says she, you be too tough for a woman's pity. Da-da-da-da, poor soul, 'twas true enough. Here be I, that was expected to die, alive and hard as a nail, you see, and there's she moldering in her grave. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I used to think 'twas your wife's fate, not to have a livin' husband, when I zid 'em die off so, apostrophe said gad. Fate? Bless thy simplicity, so 'twas her fate, but she struggled to have one, and would, and did. Fate's nothing beside a woman's shaman. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I suppose, then, that fate is a he, like us, and the Lord, and the rest o' em up above there, apostrophe said gad, lifting his eyes to the sky. Hello. Here's the young woman coming, that we were a-talkin' about. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.